Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson again, 120th program. This is the Cup of Goodness, where we talk about the goodness of God. And I have to say this right away, not like the goodness of God that I see other preachers preaching and teaching and books about God's good and all these things. They talk about how God will bless you physically if you just do your good thing as a Christian and love everybody like Jesus did. That's what I see people talking about, the goodness of God. And oh, if you would have been paying attention to these previously 119 programs, you would find out the real truth about the goodness of God. It's a spiritual goodness. We are living in a cursed world still. It isn't any better. People may think it's better. They've got laws now. We've got civilized people. You see, the civilization that's been going on in this world is because of Christianity. It's because of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. It's because of the Spirit of God. But you have to remember that all of that came about because of the King James Bible. If you go back and you do a history of the world as such, you would see that the path of the King James Bible from Antioch always preceded that part of the world that started to do things better. Everything from washing their hands, to speaking better, to taking care of people better, having a true love, no doubt, and being the Christians they needed to be. Unfortunately, during all that time, as you traveled around the world and you see the path of the King James Bible, you are seeing the path of the Spirit of God. But unfortunately, I think I said that about 20 seconds ago, but unfortunately, everywhere that King James Bible went, the devil went to try to discount that. For a while during the Dark Ages, as they called them, now they're called the Middle Ages in school, so kids don't understand what was really going on during the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church was being developed, and when Jerome and all these guys, Origen and all these people put together this church, that if you had a King James Bible, they would kill you slowly and your family in front of your eyes, the Inquisition, all the torture and all the punishment that went on during those years. It's a history that's been ignored for years and years. But anyway, before I get off the track here, we're looking at the goodness of God. And the goodness of God can be patterned for the goodness of a good marriage. So what we're looking at here for the next couple days is we're looking at the scriptures when it deals with husbands and wives. Not man and man, not woman and woman, but husband and wife. We talked about in the previous program, yesterday's program, and I think you heard verses like, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. What we need to be able to do is we need to understand how Christ loved the church. In verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. If we learn how Christ loved the church, us husbands can learn how to love our wives. And if the Christians that are involved with the church, that's the body of Christ, not the local assembly, not all these denominations. But if you are truly part of the body of Christ, which he says in verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Then he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So this whole study here, it's a light one, it's a short one, is based on not only just husbands and wives, but Christ and the church. The body of Christ church, not the local assembly church. Not the Lutheran church, not the Methodist church, not the Catholic church. None of those churches. Those are man's religions trying to put together something that they think pleases God. And over these years, they've thrown out the Bible. So they're just like Paul says in Acts, they're just worshiping an unknown God. They have no clue to what God is, who God is, and the goodness and forbearance of God. So that's the intent of my program, is to show folks in the King James Bible, because again, that's the only Bible that will show the truth of the goodness of God. And I should say that's the only Bible, that's the only scriptures. All these others, they can call them Bibles if they want, but none of them are scriptures. Only one has been, is, and ever will be. So this great mystery concerning Christ and the church. We came to the observation then that if we have a huge amount of divorces going on, or we have a huge amount of abusive marriages, or we have a huge amount of marriages that just aren't gelling, but they're staying together for whatever reason, maybe because of the kids, or maybe because of job or insurance or whatever. So if we start thinking about how messed up marriages truly are, then we realize that Christ and the church, again, the body of Christ, he has kept the body of Christ holy. That's what he has done. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, that's the way it still is as the body of Christ. When you start to look at what Christ did for those that put their faith in the risen Savior, you've got that operation made without hands, you've got him taking care of the law, you've got no chastisement, you've got nourishing and exhortation and charging and comforting. There's all sorts of things you start to recognize that should be going on in your home that has gone on with us between Christ and us as his bride. Really? Yep, pretty interesting. So then the obvious conclusion was, like I said in the program yesterday, today's modern Christianity, just like today's modern marriage, we have false brides, we have false works, we have false gospels, false design, false teaching. It is a false, humanistic, empty love. The children that are produced by such a marriage are, at this point, they're unteachable, they're spoiled, they're doing things their own way. They hate Christ, they hate the Bible, they hate the concept of a Christian home. They don't believe that there ever has been, ever is, or ever will be any authoritative truth. It's a mess, and we see in Isaiah that it's the children and it's the women that are going to be running the ship by the time this Antichrist rolls around, or when the Antichrist rolls around, he'll take them right in, because that's what's been going on in our churches all over the country these days. There you have a comparison of the modern church that has fallen apart, the local assemblies, again, they're trying to pattern themselves. The body of Christ is still holy. It's still clean. And there is no divorce planned. There doesn't need to be, because Christ gave himself for the church, and Christ took care of all the problems and paid for them himself. And so then us Christians, who are truly part of the body of Christ, based on our faith in the risen Savior, looking to Paul as our apostle, following the scriptures and a King James Bible, we should look at ourselves today as possibly a marvelous wife. Or are we like these modern wives in these marriages, and Christ, who has loved us in spite of what we have done and what we have said, we have an opportunity to learn to live the life that would please God. Have we done so? Or are we just really a type of a modern wife in today's marriages? The Christian home is in a mess, not just because the wife is out of her place as a role, but the husband doesn't know how to be her Christ. Because the husbands, we don't know what it is to follow what Christ has done to us and for us. So we're really lacking in foundation ourselves. So I thought I would look at today, just for a few minutes, I would look at something that I have seen pop up over and over. I've been through it myself. And here's the question. Let's assume the fact that we have an okay marriage taking place, husband and wife, and life is what it is, marriages are what they are, and let's say even possibility it's a church-going family, the husband and the wife, they claim to love the Lord, they go to church and they do their stuff and they try to do the right thing and all those things that people teach in the Gospels, Beatitudes and all this stuff, and they try to do those things, and then one of them goes ahead and he realizes, either from a preacher or for a website, or he starts reading his own Bible himself, and he realizes, you know, this Paul guy, if I just read my Bible from front to back, this Bible looks like it's in dispensational order, and so I should be looking to this Paul guy, not to the apostles any longer, not to Jesus' teaching to the Jews, but I should be looking to this Paul guy, and look what it is in there to maintain a good marriage, to love my wife and love my children. I should do my job as a good Christian man. I should grow up like Paul teaches us to do, get a hold of Paul's doctrines, get a hold of Paul's teachings, and help my family get this thing so they understand the real truth. So what do we have here? We have either a man getting himself straightened out with his Bible, Or we have a wife getting straightened out through her Bible, but the other one doesn't, or the kids don't. What do we have here? Well, we have a man. I'm just going to go with the man part at this point, because ladies, you'll understand. I can't say what the ladies would understand because I am not a lady, but you can understand the frustration that you must be going through when you've gotten a hold of the truth, you've gotten a hold of Paul, you've gotten a hold of the risen Savior, you understand your King James Bible, but your husband doesn't. What do we do in situations like that? Why is there such frustrations? Well, let's go to the Scriptures, of course, and let's see what Paul would say. Now, when we got married, I would venture to say that most of us didn't get married the years ago. We didn't get married for the right reason. Maybe we didn't marry the right woman. Maybe we didn't marry the right man. Maybe 20, 30 years later, things have changed so much in our own lives that we don't have a common bond anymore, as they would say in marriages. Maybe the thing is just finally falling apart. Maybe you're just cold, but you're still there, you know. You like each other, but you don't love each other, or do you love each other, but you don't like each other, the things that they do. But maybe your marriage wasn't blessed in the first place. Maybe you got married for sex. Maybe you got married for money. Maybe you got married because your family made you to. Maybe you got married because it was within the church. Maybe you got married because you just liked the guy or you liked the lady. Maybe you got married because you felt sorry for the lady and the kids that they had. Maybe you got married because you were just so insecure to live by yourself that you had to get married to somebody. Maybe you were marrying your mother. Maybe you were trying to find somebody who was like your father, and you married those kind of people. And as you grew up, things changed. But the big change is you got a hold of the risen Savior. You understand your King James Bible, but your other love does not. What does Paul say about that? Well, we have to understand some things here. We first of all have to realize, us men, if we were ever trying to be that godly man based on Proverbs and based on the Gospels and things, we were probably pretty hard and pretty rough and tough in our families, and we demanded the obedience, just like it says in 1 Peter, that you need to be in subjection to me, wife, type of a thing. I've heard a lot of King James guys call their wife woman. This is my woman. Come here, woman. It's like, what, doesn't she have? And I've seen that so many times with King James missionaries and these King James guys. I kind of like, don't you know your wife's name? I mean, woman? I know what Adam said. I know that stuff, but we're not in the garden. We have a name. We have a relationship that's supposed to be taking place now. How can you just call your wife a woman? But a lot of them did. A lot of them do. So here we are. Now, you've gotten a hold of this Bible, and you're finding out what it is to be a good husband. Not only do you charge and do exhort your kids, but you comfort them as a father. Not only do you just love your wife and pay the bills, etc., etc., you love her as Christ loved the church. And you're starting to learn what it is about Christ really, truly loving the church, the real body of Christ. And you start to recognize the fact that you might just be her antichrist, or she might be your antichrist, or whatever. And we're starting to get into some problems here. But you are excited. You've got a King James Bible. You understand this rightly dividing thing. You're getting it more and more. And you see the things that you should be doing to please God now, as before you didn't see the things that Paul taught, but you saw what the apostles taught. You saw what Jesus taught to the Jews. So you tried to do that stuff. Now what are you going to do? If you truly get a hold of this Paul thing, you get excited. You want to tell people about this risen Savior. You want to tell people about your King James Bible, how all of a sudden it makes sense to you. Not only do you want to tell other people, you want to tell your wife. You want to tell your kids. Or ladies, you want to tell your husband, or you want to tell your kids. And now we've got a problem. Now remember, we probably didn't get married for the right reason. So all of a sudden, we expect this marriage to go biblical. Why is that? Why do we all of a sudden think that we as men, because we got a hold of the Scriptures, can we now step up to the plate and we know how to hit the ball? Well, usually what happens if people get a hold of this Paul stuff, as I call it, you think you're ready to step up to the plate. Really, all you just did was you finally joined the right team. But you don't know how to hang onto a bat. You don't know how to swing that bat yet. You don't know how to coach the other players. You don't know what to do out there yet. But you walk up to the plate and you say, okay, I'm going to hit a grand slam home run. even though there's nobody on first, second, or third, but you're convinced you're going to hit a grand slam anyway. And before you know it, you're miserable, your wife is miserable, your kids are miserable, they want nothing to do with it. And I'm sure I'm talking to a lot of folks out there that know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the folks out there with this that are into this modern Christianity, their marriages are still a mess. I'm talking about the guys, the couples, the wives, that half of you have an understanding of the risen Savior. Now here's what we need to look to here. Can we get a divorce in this situation? Possibly. Do you want a divorce in this situation? Not necessarily. Does God want you to have a divorce in this situation? No, not at all. You just got to remember that Christ is the one that died for the church. He's the one that gave himself. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You really, men, can't expect to suddenly stand up to the pulpit and all of a sudden your word is gold. And let's just say you start to get this stuff more and more, and you understand it more and more, and you just want to serve the Lord. You want to get out there and you want to tell people, you want to preach, you want to teach, you want to study some more, you want to put up some sermons, you want to write Bible studies, or you're just getting excited about your Bible, and yet your family doesn't seem to want to go along with it necessarily here. Well, here, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's see what Paul says about marriage and about this kind of a situation here. Verse 7, Paul says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." Paul was single. Paul was not married. Contrary to J. Vernon McGee, I think that's who it was I heard say years ago that Paul was married. I thought, where in the world did he get that? Hope it wasn't from Timothy being his son. I mean, that was a spiritual son there, but anyway. So he says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." I mean, Paul is saying, listen, if you want to serve God, if you want to follow the risen Savior, and you want to be out there and do what could be done, he says, then don't be married. He says, but if they cannot contain, physically, sexually, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And we're not talking about burning in hell. We're talking about up in verse 1, 2, and 3, for it is good for man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. So defraud ye not one another. So if you have a physical problem, you've got this inner desire, and it's not surprising when a country has grown up in pornography like it has in the last 20, 30, 40 years. It's just a common thing. Sex is like absolutely everywhere. Even elementary school kids, they have no clue what it really means, but they're into that stuff. So we're living in a day where the whole perversion of sexuality has just gone crazy. So, but if you can handle it, if you can contain yourself, if you cannot have that inner burn, then you can serve the risen Savior. Are we talking about being a monk here or a nun? No, not at all. He's not forbidding you to be married. He just says, listen, it would be better if you want to serve the risen Savior, it would be better if you don't get married. But if you're going to have this burn, this sexual, physical desire so much, that you better get yourself a wife, and not, don't marry for that purpose, but it's important for you to have that, then you need to have a wife. So then if you get yourself a wife, then he goes on and he says in verse 32, and he says, "But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, and how he may please his wife." There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Paul is obviously stating here, you know, if you really want to serve the Lord, then you don't need the distraction of marriage. You don't need the distraction of children. You don't need distraction of trying to provide things of the world. But if you do get married, here's what we men have to realize, and women, and get a hold of the Paul stuff. We have to realize that we can't suddenly serve the Lord 100% because, like Paul even says here, listen, you can't do that. You still have to take care of the needs of your wife. You still have to take care of your children. You still have to provide the things of the world. We just have to do that. And what I have seen over the years is somebody gets a hold of this Paul stuff, and they just kind of divorce everybody and get excited about this Paul stuff, and they want to teach it and learn it themselves, and they let their family duties, they let their family care and comfort go by the wayside because they're so excited about now having the King James Bible rightly divided, now understanding Paul, now understanding all these things. And I have seen marriages start to fall apart because one of the two got a hold of Paul, got a hold of the risen Savior, got a hold of a King James Bible, got a hold of rightly dividing, and then their marriage starts to fall apart. The wives don't understand it. The wives don't get it. The husband gets it. He's all excited about his Bible. Listen, us men have never liked church. We know it's been a game. We know it's a money-making business. We understand all this calling and all this stuff that the Lord told the pastor to say this is baloney because we know the pastors and they're no more holy than my pet dog and all these things. So men know that there's something just not right here. But the ladies in Acts chapter 13, one of Paul's biggest enemies, we'll start with verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation until the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. What happened here? We got men that are getting excited about their Bible again instead of church game. They understand the truth. They understand the truth about the pastor and this wonderful family. He understands the truth about what's being falsely taught, and he knows he's accountable for his family. He knows he's accountable to what his family, his wife, and his children have to be taught and learned and everything. And we've got a problem. It's the ladies that cannot handle God's grace. It said there in Acts 13 here, it said, devout and honorable women. This is Jewish teachings. So devoutness, following the law, doing the right thing. That's always been the desire of the ladies I've ever met. They're the good church-going people. They're the ones that always want to go to church. They're the ones that always want to go to the Bible studies, the circles, as they call them in some churches. They're the ones that want to do the right thing. They're the ones that are following the pastor. Many are just in love with the pastor physically, or many of them are just in awe of the pastor because he knows his religion so well. Her husband is a doofus who doesn't know anything. I've seen this 1,000 times. So this guy gets a hold with Paul here. And what do we have to realize? We have to realize, Paul people, that we have to still provide the needs for our family. We still have to work where we have to work. We still have to be around the people we have to be around. We still have to be there to provide those things, to deal with those things. Now, what about if your wife doesn't want it? What about your children who don't want this thing? What about if Paul creates all this massive righteousness in your home? Now what do you do? Well, we'll talk about it the next program. There is something that can be done. But what we have to realize, man, is Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Not by the sword, not by the preachy loud sermon, not by the demands and the making them be in subjection to you. What we try to do is we should try to present ourselves a glorious church, a glorious wife, not having spot or wrinkle, spiritually, of course, mentally, of course, because the spots or wrinkles are going to show up, trust me, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And that's how we should picture our wives, holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives, as he says, as their own bodies. If we could do that, maybe there wouldn't be that battle. Maybe those ladies in Acts chapter 13, the devout and honorable women, would have understood Paul better and what he was talking about. Because notice it says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. So the leaders of that church, the leaders of the group, the leaders of that community got those ladies fired up against Paul. Man, we have to ask ourselves these questions. If our wives haven't been, as it says here in verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. How many years have we been reverenceable? And now all of a sudden we expect them to treat us with reverence. We have so much to learn. And what did Christ do again? He loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. Do you think he really wanted to do that? But he did. And that's the goodness of God. Do you think God is excited about not having chastisement? Because, and all that grace that he puts forth, the goodness of God is what leads people to repentance? Could it possibly be that within our own marriages and with our own couples, the goodness of the man would help that family turn around? Not just to get up there and start thumping that Bible right away and making things change because you say so. Now, this is just kind of a winged program this morning because I don't really know how to do all the different things to say here without having any specifics. But there, you don't need to go to Bible counselors. You don't need, because there's no such thing as Bible counselors. That's psychology stuff. Psychology and Bible don't mix. You don't need to go to your pastors. You don't need to buy all these books and CDs and go to these marriage conferences and stuff. You just need to look at your Bible. You need to get a hold of how Christ loved the church. You've got to get a hold of what Christ did for the church. You've got to realize that we're looking to the risen Savior, not the earthly Jesus. And what's going on, again, I'll say it one more time, that we have marriages today that are based on a false Christ. We have marriages that are full of Antichrist and followers of the Antichrist. We have marriages that are perverted because we have churches that are perverted. It all ties together. And to try to do this into a 30-minute program or break it down into maybe three or four different programs for 30 minutes still isn't the way I do things. I could talk about this for the longest time, but I could also sit down and talk to people that are having their difficulties. Go over these verses that we're going to go over here in the next day or so. And I think that people could see what the truth is regarding Christ and the church. They could see the truth of the truth concerning their marriage. Now, what if it is not going to be fixed? What if there is abuse involved? What if there's just no longer peace in the home and it just can't get fixed? No, they're not interested in being fixed. What do we do? How does Paul describe that one? Well, we'll probably talk about that tomorrow. But that should do it for today. And I hope that my winged words were understandable to the point where we'll come back again tomorrow. We'll go over these verses some more and a couple more new ones. And maybe we can see from the scriptures this design of the marriage is marvelous. The design of Christ in the church is marvelous. And what's going on in the marriages today is the same thing that's going on in the churches today. It's a mess.